churches around the state. And I'm also mindful of how the Spirit has moved through all of you to be the church, not just in this local setting, but in various ways around our conference and in the world. I want to thank you for the ways in which you continue to support this local church and continue to support the wider church through your gifts to our church's wider mission, those alphabet letters OCWM, which many people don't fully recognize how much wonderful ministry is accomplished through the giving program, through the special offerings of the United Church of Christ. And I understand come June, Union Green Bay will be taking up Strengthen the Church Fund as well, which will make you a 5 for 5 congregation. The 5 special offerings of the United Church of Christ you will continue to support. That is a great offering. But you continue to support the wider church in many other ways. Most recently, your member, Barbara McClure Lukens, decided to answer my call to serve on the Unified Fitness Review Team for the conference. This is tough work. This work calls in to being a situation when churches are having conflict and a particular church clergy person may have made some bad decisions in their relationship with their local church. And so a question about their ethics and boundaries may have come into being, and a review is needed about their fitness to continue to be of service to the wider church. Barbara has answered that very difficult call to be a part of that team, and I am deeply grateful. Steve Jones has served on our Open and Affirming Commission and helped been a leader for LGBTQ ethics and rights in the life of the church, both locally in the community and in the wider church. Brian Badger is the president of our pension boards, and the pension boards do so much to support the church through its ministries of care, not just for retirement, but in health care, in life and disability care. And there are numerous choices and decisions to be made in the well-being of those programs and how they continue to support our clergy and leadership. Chuck and Helen Krieger were on the Capital Campaign Committee, and union members have spent countless hours on the upkeep of our camps. And our camps are one of the great joys in the Wisconsin Conference. I have to say that when I was on the conference search committee for our new conference minister, we did a survey throughout all of our churches to look at what is it that we really cherish in our common life together. And Lay Academy and the camps were at the top of the list. So your continued support for our camps and our outdoor ministries is greatly appreciated. You've also continued to support Lakeland College over the years and helping to establish a nursery on campus, sponsoring women students from Africa, and most recently helping to endow a chair of teaching of theology in the tradition of the UCC. I also am mindful that your former minister, Chuck Mize, was on the UCCI board for our outdoor ministry. And
Bridget
is just getting her feet wet here in Northeast Wisconsin in the wider church life, but she was deeply involved as a minister in the Southeast Association. She chaired our education and mission team. She was vice moderator of the association. She served on the annual planning team and was on the conference youth ministry team. And she also chaired the Southeast Associate Conference Minister Search. So we are grateful for her contributions and look forward to seeing what new things you have to bring to the wider church, Bridget. So grateful, very grateful for the many, many ways in which you participate in the life of the wider church. Thank you. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Gracious God, your Spirit renewed, restored, and rebirthed your early church, bringing new life, bringing unity amidst diversity. We ask, O God, that you send your Holy Spirit on us today, so that all of us may be renewed, restored, and rebirthed. May your Holy Spirit dance among us and speak to our hearts so that we might love one another more fully and address the divisions that stand among us, bringing healing and hope to your church and to your church in the world. Breathe new life and love into your people, both in this church and in communities of faith around our world. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We began the Word this day by retelling the story of the Tower of Babel, however you pronounce it in your local church. And it is a reminder to us that humanity has its own sense at times of focusing on its own abilities to reach God and reach out to God, sometimes to the point of arrogance. As the ancient Hebrews tried to build a tower all the way to God so that they would be able to be the divine and be at one with the divine by their own efforts. And what happens in the process? God says, y'all getting too big for your britches. That's what my mother used to say to me. You're all getting too big for your britches. No, such arrogance will not be abided by. See, I'm going to do something here because that means if you think that you can bring the divine into the world by your own doing, you got another thing coming. And God causes chaos and confusion in the world, and all of a sudden, God's people no longer understand one another. And then we move on to the Pentecost story. And I love the Pentecost story, not just because it reverses the Tower of Babel story. that where there was once confusion and chaos, there is now clarity and order. But I love the Pentecost story because the Spirit here, the Ruach, God's breath of life and love, brings transformation, not just for the Hebrew people, but for all people. God chooses not just a select few of God's people to redeem, but God chooses all people. All are considered to be God's chosen ones. You see, here in the Pentecost story, the Spirit of God's life-giving love and grace is birthed into the world in a new way, reforming all God's people to see and hear one another with one heart, and called to live in one accord despite their distinct differences. You know, before the Pentecost event and the unleashing of God's Holy Spirit, the early followers of Jesus were really a sad and sorry bunch. During Jesus' ministry, the disciples were tended to fight with one another. They fought over who was greater in Jesus' eyes, who was greater in God's eyes. And much of what Jesus said or did, the disciples didn't really understand. They certainly didn't get it. They didn't really know who Jesus was or who he was called to be. And even when they did begin to get it, when they sort of understood, they still left Jesus alone, didn't they? Alone in his agony, alone in his journey to the cross. Peter even denied that he knew Jesus, not once, but three times. And then after Jesus' death, they were so discouraged that they were ready to go back to their old lives, taking up fishing again. I think were it not for the resurrection experience, the disciples might simply have disbanded. And yet, in light of their multiple experiences of the risen Christ, they went forth to teach and preach and bring healing to others. At Pentecost, however, something new happens. The disciples begin to experience God's call in a new way. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, this motley crew was empowered to understand one another, understand all those whom they had gathered with that day, despite their differences in language, or culture, or customs, or race, or traditions. They had a new understanding of one another. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples also understood that they had a new calling. And that calling was to bring the gospel to all people, regardless of differences. Differences in language and race and nationality and age and gender and religious background, socioeconomic background, social status, or profession. those were no longer just differences among them, nor were they walls that divided them. They were signs of distinction and not division. You see, the Holy Spirit built a bridge of love between their hearts so that they could see and hear and act as one body, the body of the risen Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit empowered them to be Jesus' voice, Jesus' hands, Jesus' feet in the world. The Holy Spirit empowered their ministry to bring Jesus into the world. And guess what? Amazing things happened. In less than 100 years after Jesus' death, the gospel of God's all-embracing love was carried as far away as Spain, to the west, and India to the east, and Ethiopia to the south of them. And throughout time, the good news of God's extravagant love and grace has continued to be spread by those who are Spirit-filled. Down through the centuries, the fire of God's love has burned brightly. The faith grew because people found their lives changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And people came to know God's love and grace as that which builds bridges, not walls, between God's people. They came to know the peace, even amidst chaos and confusion, a peace which passes all understanding, as Scripture tells us. God's people came to know undaunting courage, even in the face of those who have sought to silence their witness by persecuting them even unto death. So you see, the Holy Spirit is a powerful presence, isn't it? Not just at the Pentecost event, but even now. Even now. You know, tomorrow I leave for Atlanta to attend a preaching conference called the Festival of Homiletics, where several thousand clergy across denominational lines will gather for 5 days to be inspired by worship and storytelling and lectures and workshops from the church's most talented leaders. Yes, you can say we're church geeks. And I attend this conference almost every year as I find that this conference renews and restores my spirit while inspiring me to do new things in the life of the church. However, this year I have to say, I will be missing hearing a certain voice in the life of the church, that of Fred Craddock, who died March 2015. Now, Fred Craddock is a well-known preacher and professor. He taught at Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta. He's published hundreds of books about preaching. But I think while most of us love Fred, it's because Dr. Craddock was a storyteller at heart. He once told us preachers a rather funny story about a lecture that he was giving one day. He says this: "A few years ago, I was on the West Coast speaking at a seminary, and just before the first lecture, one of the students stood up and said, 'Before you speak, sir, I need to know if you are Pentecostal.' 'Okay.' Well, the room grew rather silent in this progressive mainline church, wondering what this student was about. I looked around," Fred says, "for the dean of the seminary," thinking he was going to answer this student's question, and the dean was nowhere to be found. So this student continued his quiz right in front of everybody. I was taken aback, so I said, "Do you mean, do I belong to the Pentecostal church?" He said, "No, I mean, are you Pentecostal?" "Are you asking me if I'm charismatic?" The student said, "I'm asking, sir, if you are Pentecostal. Do you want to know if I speak in tongues? I want to know if you're Pentecostal." Well, frustrated, Fred said, "I didn't know what his question really was. Sir, I'm not sure I understand your question." The student, flabbergasted, said, "Obviously, you are not Pentecostal, Dr. Craddock," and he turned around and left. Well, you know, for many of us, that's an interesting question. Are we Pentecostal? For many of us, the claim to be Pentecostal would refer to people whose faith communities and identities revolve primarily around being caught up in the Spirit. Caught up in the Spirit in such a way in the mainline church that we might look askance at them. We associate such Spirit-filled people with often strange behavior, don't we? Weird expressions of the faith. And many of us would claim that being Pentecostal means being prone to what would look like, from the outsider's point of view, an epileptic attack. Fits of hysteria, bodies moving and swaying, even contorting themselves in such strange ways when they are Spirit-filled. And during those moments, such folks may speak in a language we don't understand, a language simply not translatable except by the one speaking, a language identified as glossolalia. So if someone were to ask if we were Pentecostal, we would most likely respond, "Absolutely not." And so I wonder if that man's question had a different meaning that day. I wonder if Pentecostal means something completely different. I wonder whether we in the mainline church can associate Pentecostal with being something more than a particular stylistic expression of being caught up in the Spirit. I wonder if we in the mainline church really know what it means to be Pentecostal. I wonder sometimes whether the mainline church has only used the word Pentecost as a noun that represents a date and place and an event in the history of the church, but it can't ever be used as an adjective. Well, in spite of the fact that the mainline church really doesn't know what the adjective means, I do hope that the church insists that the word remain in our vocabulary as an adjective. And I hope that the church refuses to let the Pentecost experience simply be a memory. Oh, you know, that was an event that happened back there in the early church. I hope that the church insists on using the word as an adjective. An adjective to describe the church that is alive in the world. If the church is alive in the world, it is Pentecostal. And you and I thought we were just the United Church of Christ. I wonder if the Spirit could breathe such awesome power as it did into that motley crew of early followers of Jesus to carry the gospel into all the world. Is it not also possible that the most ordinary of us can be filled with that wonder-working power? When God sends forth the Holy Spirit, amazing things happen. And today, amazing things do continue to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Spirit, we are able to listen to one another. We're able to reach out and understand one another, regardless of who we are, what language we speak, what faith we may practice, or even where and how we live. I find that to be a miracle, especially in this day and age. You know, a testimony to that Holy Spirit at work in the world is the story that is in a small town in Israel. A small town called Neve Shalom, which demonstrates day in and day out that the differences between people, between cultures and languages and religious beliefs can indeed be bridged. It's located about half an hour outside of Jerusalem. It's a small town of about 250 people, half Jewish and half Arabic, Christian and Muslim. There are Arab homes right next to Jewish homes in this town. And children have to learn both languages. They have to make friends across what are traditional lines. Young adults intermarry. And yet it hasn't been easy. There have been arguments and feelings all across the board. But this community is committed to a bigger vision for all of God's people. And they continue to press on to resolve differences, determined to raise a generation who have friends across racial, religious, and ethnic lines. This small town is exercising peace in a world around it that is constantly in conflict. It is the power of God's Spirit at work. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, amazing things can happen. Barriers are broken. Communities are formed. Opposites find a way to be reconciled. Unity is established. Addiction is broken. Cities are renewed. Races can be reconciled. Hope established. People are blessed. And the church, Pentecostal church, happens. So I ask you, are you Pentecostal? Are you alive in the Spirit? Is the Spirit of the living God alive in you? William Blake wrote this poem about Pentecost. He says this: "Unless the eye catch fire, God will not be seen. Unless the ear catch fire, God will not be heard. Unless the tongue catch fire, God will not be named. Unless the heart catch fire, God will not be loved. Unless the mind catch fire, God will not be known." May all of us this day feel the fire and power of the Holy Spirit. And may God's Spirit live in us, renew us, and bring new life to the church, so that we can be the heart and mind, ears and voice, hands and feet of God's love and grace in the world. We are the church. Let us be the church. Amen. Thank you.